Chapter 6, as we're studying God's plan for prayer, or God's pattern for prayer, or the Lord's teaching on prayer, Matthew chapter number 6. We looked at what is not prayer, and prayer of the hypocrite. That's all self-focused on himself and how good he is. And then prayer of the heathen that prays through vain repetition without really desiring to submit to the Lord. And we know as Christians that the Lord knows our need anyway. We've been looking now at last Wednesday, the position that we play in prayer. Is God our Father or is he our judge? If we go to God in prayer as Christians, we are going to our Father, and his position is in heaven. Therefore, we can trust his position that he will do what is best for us and that he is in total control. Now I'd like to take some time and look at the next section of this prayer, and this is praise. After this manner, verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, may we learn what the Bible has to say about praise through the different names that we will be looking at tonight. May you help us and guide us and lead us to make us better praisers of you, specifically as we kneel before you in the manner of prayer. God, help us to come before your throne with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. And God, as we look at this specific command for us to praise you at the very start of our prayer, may we understand that there is a purpose for this so that our sights when we get on our knees to pray are totally on you and your will being done in our lives. God, help us to understand that you are totally sufficient and we are totally in need, specifically when it comes to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So, hallowed means to render or venerate as holy. It means to sanctify. It means to take from a place that is just common and separate it or withdraw it from that which is common and make it fellowship with something that is different. The name of Jesus, the name of our God as being our Father, is to be a separate name from all other names. It's to be a name that we come before in praise and thanksgiving. We, when looking at the names of Christ, start to understand more of his attributes. And it is very interesting that this prayer starts with praise and ends with praise. The praise of one's name, primarily God's name, and then the praise of his attributes as seen in verse 10. Thy kingdom come, his sovereignness, thy will, verse number 4:13. For thine is the kingdom, or he is sovereign, and the power, he is all powerful, and the glory, he is filled with majesty, forever, he is eternal. Amen. So, when we pray, how much praise do we put in our prayer? Alright, that's very important. It was very convicting as I studied this. And also, we need to pray that God will give us wisdom on how to apply this to our lives. James chapter 1, I'll be speaking more of this on Sunday morning, but James chapter 1 says, if you lack in wisdom, ask of God and he will give it to you liberally. So, we need to ask God for wisdom when he gives us a command to praise him, and no matter what we find ourselves or what station in life we find ourselves in, there is a command to praise God. Specifically, to praise his name. Now, I have 16 names we're going to go through to give us an idea of how to praise God. All of this will be on the website. You can download the notes if you don't know how to get to our website. then you can come to me and I'll make you a copy of this. But this will help us to understand how God is to be praised through his names. The first name I'd like to look at is in Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 1. Genesis 17 and verse number 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. So the Hebrew word for Almighty God is El Shaddai, or the All-Sufficient One, Lord God Almighty. It's used seven times in the scripture and first appears in Genesis 17 verse 1. Here, God obviously has a hard thing that he has to accomplish, an impossible thing in man's eyes that he has to accomplish in giving Abraham a seed at 99 years old, right? He has to do a miracle and give life to that which is dead. And what is happening here? He is showing Abraham the power that he has. He is almighty, he has all power. So, what does this mean to us? When we realize that God is the all-sufficient one, the Lord Almighty, we respond by our path in blamelessness as we walk this road of life. We don't walk it alone. Instead, we walk through life before the face of the Lord Almighty. So as we go through this road in this life, as we sing and we pray praises to God, we understand that one of his attributes is that he is all powerful, that his face is before us, and that we're to walk blamelessly and completely completed in our lives in front of his face, and that he can supply the power to us to accomplish this for us. So when I come to God practically in my praise, one way I can praise and set apart his name is giving him the name El Shaddai, or All Sufficient, or God Almighty. We can thank him for the might that he has. We can thank him for the strength that he has. As we're going through problems in this life, we can look at him as our almighty God that we can trust in, and that he has all power and all glory to accomplish his will in our lives. We don't have to fret. We don't have to fear. We are reminded, or should be reminded, every time we go through to his throne room, that he's our Father, and that he has the attribute through his name of having all power. He can accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish, and he does this through the means of working through us, specifically in our prayer lives. So we have one way of setting his name apart. He's all powerful. Secondly, El Elyon, or the Most High God, used 28 times in the Bible, 19 in the Psalms, and first used, and by the way, I'm only going to look at first mentions for this, okay? The first time they're mentioned in the Bible. If you want to do more of a study, get the notes, you can look it up. If you have a complete word study Bible, a strong concordance, you can look up these words and they'll show you every time and each place that they're in the Bible. Genesis 14 and verse number 18. Genesis 14 and verse number 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. There is no other God that is as high as God. God is the highest of all. Whoever you serve as priest in your life, whoever we serve in our royal position as being kings through Christ, we serve no one greater than our God that we come before in prayer and praise. He is the Most High God. See, here Abraham had other kings that wanted his condolences and his services and wanted his tithe or wanted to do things for him. And the only one that he would tithe to is this great king. Why? Because he was the priest of the Most High God. So when we go before God and we separate His name, we are understanding while we're praising Him, when we call Him El Elyon, that He is the Most High God. There's no greater than God. There's none that even come close. He is the greatest of all, and we fall before Him as the greatest of all. Therefore, He should have all of our attention in life, and specifically in our prayer life. He is the Most High God. Adonai, or Lord, Master, is used 434 times. It occurs 200 times in Ezekiel, 11 times in Daniel chapter 9, and is first used in Genesis 15:2. Genesis 15:2. So, remember, Genesis 14 and is when Lot is captured. Abraham goes in and defeats the kings of the valley and helps to free Lot. And then he meets this Melchizedek, which we'll see in, we saw in Hebrews, as a picture of Christ and Christ's priesthood. And now we're coming to Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham and Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? What is he saying here? So God comes before Abram, and Abram, he tells Abram, I'm your protection, and I'm also your exceeding great reward. And Abram immediately says, Master, you say you're my protection and my exceeding great reward, but I have no seed. I have no one to follow after me. I have no child. I go childless. I understand that I'm in this position and that you're my master, but I'm asking you to protect and care for me. How can I be greatly and richly rewarded when I have no seed? How can I be protected when I have no seed? My seed ends with me. Are you going to use my servant? What is your plan? And then we understand the covenant that is given, that God says, I will take care of this blood covenant by my own person and by my own power. So, how do we separate the name of God in our prayer life? We accept that He's our master. We accept that He's our Lord. We accept that He's our Adonai. For Yahweh, or Lord Jehovah, occurs 6,519 times, is first used in Genesis 2 and verse number 4. Genesis 2, verse number 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. In Exodus, when Moses is commanded at the burning bush and he asks, Who will I tell Pharaoh that sent me? What did Christ say? He said, I am has sent thee. What is this saying? He's the Lord of creation. Everything that existed in creation by his spoken word, he didn't need it. He's self-sufficient. He's self-existent. He doesn't need your service. He doesn't need your prayer, but He longs to hear your prayer. He's a God that longs for you to come alongside of Him because He loves you, but He doesn't need you. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to say here? So we separate Him. Look, as a pastor, I need the people of God to come to church and tithe. Or if I just preach to myself, I preach to myself. If we're going to accomplish something that is praising to God as a people, as a corporate group of people, we need each other. God doesn't need us. But He determined by His will to work through us. When I go to prayer, I have to come and understand that God doesn't need me, but He lovingly lets me come beside Him to accomplish His will. Do you see how this is putting us in the right frame of mind when we're coming to pray? It's not like we're coming to pray to pronounce how great we are. We're coming to pray to praise the Lord God our Father. He's in heaven. And we need to separate His name from everything else. His name needs to be high and lifted up in our prayer lives. Look, this is going to be a learning process for us. But let's start down this road of learning. Tomorrow, try to add one of these names when you start to pray to God. Try to think of the character attributes that are being described through His name. So when you come before His throne, you can be filled with praise. And you can separate His name from everything else in this world. We're coming to our Father that's in heaven. Doesn't this make you excited that God loves you as we're going through these names? Fifth name I'd like to look at is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord my banner. The Lord my miracle. Occurs in Exodus 17 and verse number 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with the Amalekites from generation to generation. So, in Exodus 17:8, we see some of Esau's descendants. This is a designation of Amalek. Amalek was the son of Esau's son Elpaz and his concubine Timnah. Hence, he was the grandson of Esau's wife, Adah, who was a Canaanite and a Hittite from Genesis 36:2 and Genesis 36:10-12. His descendants became the Amalekites. According to biblical record, after Exodus, they were hostile toward Israel and threatened God's people through guerrilla warfare in Deuteronomy 25:17-19. God cursed them to exterminate them for attacking his people in Exodus 17:8-16. Now William MacDonald says Amalek as descendant of Esau is a type of the flesh, because we know that Amalek is a fleshly man. There's a man's evil, corrupt, Adamic nature. Observe the following parallels between the flesh and the Amalekites. First, it presents itself after the Holy Spirit is given at conversion to fight against the Spirit. Second, the Lord will have war with the flesh from generation to generation. Third, it is never eradicated from the believer till death or the rapture of the church. Four, two means of triumph over the flesh are suggested, prayer and the word. The Lord is my banner, my miracle. In the war against the flesh, God is the only one that can defeat it. God is our banner. He is our miracle. He is who we go under to see how we can win against the flesh. So we see that in this fight in Exodus chapter 17, verse 10, so Joshua, they choose men to go fight the Amalekites. So Joshua, verse 10, did as Moses had said to him and fought with the Amalek. And Moses, Aaron and went up on the top of the hill, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and stayed up his hand, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an ark and called it of it Jehovah Nissi. So what is this saying? Here is God is our banner. He's our miracle. And as long as we keep our hands upwards towards Him, as long as we keep our focus towards God, we will defeat the flesh. But when we start to focus on ourselves, when we start to focus on our good works, when we think that we have a handle on the flesh, that's when we need to fear that the flesh is winning. God is our banner. God is our miracle. God is the only one we can go to and die to and surrender ourselves to, through prayer, and we need to remind ourselves of this as our prayer. We're separating God as our only one that we can follow to have victory over something. Many countries use their flag as a banner, or something as a banner to congregate around, to see as a focal point, to see as a place in which they need to fight. In the same way, God is the Christian's focal point. He is the power to destroy our enemy, specifically the enemy of the flesh. I don't think we have any greater enemy, besides maybe Satan, than our own flesh. Our flesh is a great enemy, and it's way smarter than us. We need to trust in God to defeat the flesh. Again, when we think we have a handle on the flesh, that's when we need to fear. We need to be in complete submission to God when it comes to our flesh. So we've gone over El Shaddai, we've gone over El Elyon, we've gone over Adonai, we've gone over Yahweh, we've gone over Jehovah Nissi. Now let's look at Jehovah Ra, the Lord, my shepherd. Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23 is the place that this is obviously used. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we can give a lot of praise to God on this first phrase, can't we, of Psalms 23? If God is your shepherd, if God is your father, if God is your protector, if God is your leader, do you need anything that he can't supply? He's your shepherd. Could we come before God and thank and praise him before his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise, thanking him that he's our shepherd? That there's nothing in this life that we will want with God being our shepherd. Why? Because of his direction. He make me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Because he restores. He restores my soul. Can we praise God that when we go our own way and the fight is the spirit-filled life for the soul of man against the flesh of man who wants the soul of man? What's happening here? Our spirit-filled life that's made alive at salvation is fighting for our inner man and the direction that our inner man, the part that they can't see, people can't see, to follow him. And what is the flesh? Well, the desires of the flesh are those that are contrary to God, that is pulling our thoughts and our desires towards itself instead of towards God. And this fight comes. Aren't you glad that you have a God that restores your soul after you fail him? Can you not praise him for that? Which way will he lead you? He'll lead you in the path of righteousness. For his glory or for his name's sake. What name's sake? Well, Jehovah Ra. He's our shepherd. He's going to lead us in the right direction because he is our shepherd. Even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My, if we just took this name, we could have half an hour of praising God, couldn't we, in our prayer? Of all the times his rod and the staff, his rulership, his leading, his protection comforted you. Praise him for that. Praise his name for his preparation of a table before the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head of oil, my cup runneth over. I eat when people are trying to starve me. Isn't that good? When people say I'm nothing, you anoint me as your son. Things in my life run over because you're so full. My life is so full of your blessing. Why? Because you're my shepherd. And though everything around me is trying to destroy me, your rod, your staff is what protects me. And I praise you for that, and I thank you for that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness and mercy follows me on the path that I'm physically living right now. And when I'm dead, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because he's my shepherd. He's my Jehovah Ra. Seventh, Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord who heals, is used in Exodus 15 and verse 26. Exodus 15 and verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give to his commandment, and will give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of those diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, the context of the verse falls in the record of the historical fact of the bitter water of Marah being made sweet. So that which the world had ruined, God made sweet again. That which was bitter in this world, God made sweet. We can praise God by his name of making bitter things sweet. We'll talk more about this on Sunday from James chapter 1, and also in our study of Abraham, and how faith helped him to be faithful in times of testing. Can we praise the Lord for how he builds us in the testings he allows in our life? Well, we can, because he's our healer. He's what makes it all better. It's his salvation that gives us faith in any problem and circumstance we find ourselves in. When you're discouraged, start praising him that he's your healer. God, I come before you and I thank you. I need healing because of sin, and you've healed me because you sent your son to die for me, because you loved the world so much you would not withhold your one and only son, or only begotten son, because you didn't want me to be condemned, but you rather wanted me to have eternal life through your gift of love, which was your son. Praise God that I'm spiritually healed. I once was dead, and now I'm alive. Why? Because the Lord who heals gave me the medicine, the balm of Gilead, that I could trust in. Yes, it's important to praise God for our physical healings too. But even more important is the spiritual healings that we have of a spiritual new life that's been given to us. Number 8, Jehovah Shammah, or the Lord is there, used once in Ezekiel 48 and verse 35. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There. This name reminds us, as William MacDonald says, this name reminds us of what was always in the heart of God. He loves his creatures so much that he always planned to have them close to himself. He is ever searching, asking, where are you? Calling to repentance and faith. As the Son of God, he came down to the earth to die for us. So his wish will be fulfilled. Man will be close to his heart. We can engage in his search for the lost while living close to his heart here on earth. This is God's desire for us. Not God's plural, but God's possessive desire for us. That we are near him. Isn't that good? Can we praise him that he brought us salvation so that we could be everlasting near to him? Will he ever leave us or forsake us, Christian? The Lord who sanctifies you, or the Lord who makes you holy. You can look this up online. I have no idea how to say this word. It's M-E-K-O-D-D-I-S-H-K-E-M. Jehovah, and then the M word. So as you look at this, what it means is the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes holy. Used twice in Exodus 31:13. It says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you." God sanctifies you. God sets you apart into his rest. God has given us salvation to make us a peculiar people, and we praise him for that. We praise him for the honor that he's given to us, because he's a God that sanctifies. He's the God that sets apart. As we come in and praise, and as we go throughout and we pray, and throughout the prayer, and we look at our priorities in our prayer, that it's about his kingdom and his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We can come and we can understand that it is God that sets us apart from everything and everyone, that it is God's will that is to be important in our lives, and he is the great and mighty one that sets us apart. Can we praise him for that? Can we thank him for that? Jehovah Sekenu, or the Lord our righteousness, used twice in the scriptures. It is used in Jeremiah 23:6 and 33:16. Here Jeremiah 23:6 says, "In the days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Can we praise him for his righteousness that keeps us safe? His righteousness that is placed upon us, imputed in accounted unto us, so that in the judgment day we have the righteousness of Christ upon us. Our judgment day as Christians happened 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, and now we are translated from this kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light, and our representative is our righteousness. Can we praise the Lord for that? Jeremiah 33:16 says, "In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name where she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Are we praising his name? Are we thanking his name? Are we giving glory to his name? He is God, our righteousness. El Olam, or the everlasting God, the God of eternity, the God of the universe, the God of the ancients of days, used first in Genesis 21:33. "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." The context of the verse is Abraham and Abimelech's agreement about the wells in Beersheba. He's saying, "Here I'm coming, and you're making this account, and you're giving me this promise in front of the eternal, everlasting, ancient of days." Man, this is above our heads. But we can praise God for his everlasting nature. Who was there at the beginning of time when he created it? God. Who will be there at the end of time? God. He's the everlasting, ancient of days. Elohim, or God, judge, creator, occurs 2,000 times, first used in Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Quana, or jealous, zealous, it is used 6 times, and first occurs in Exodus 25. "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." In every instance of this word jealous, it is used to describe the character of God. He is a jealous God who will not tolerate the worship of other gods. Let's praise God for his position in our life as being our God. Hallowed be his name. Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord will provide, occurs only in Genesis 22:14. Genesis 24:14 says, "And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." The context of this verse is found in verse 13. "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." Can we praise the Lord that he provided the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world? Can we thank him for that? Can we praise him that he always will provide what we need, not what we want? I was really awestruck as I was studying last week for the sermon about when we come before God to pray, we don't pray our wants, we pray that he guides us in our needs, right? Why? Because remember, I think it's number 16 where they're complaining about not having meat. So he sends a bunch of quail, remember? And they ate quail and disease falls upon them because the anger of the Lord falls upon them because they're not satisfied with what God has given to them. And remember, Moses called the place, translated in English, graves of their lusts. Remember, James tells us that we have not because we ask not. And when we ask that we may place it on our lust and our desires. God will provide what's best for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, remember Paul saying, "I asked God to take this thorn of the flesh away from me." On three different occasions, God said, "Nope. My grace is sufficient through your weakness." We can praise God that he always provides exactly what we need because we are his children. Jehovah Shalom, where the Lord is peace, occurs only in Judges 6:24. "Then Gideon built an altar there upon the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day. It is yet in Ophrah or of the Abizites." So here we can know that God is the peace. God is peace for us. And we can praise him for being our peace. How much do we thank him that he gives peace? How much do we praise him that he has the mighty power to provide peace in this fallen world? Through this exceeding sinfulness of sin, God has provided sufficient and abounding grace to provide us with peace. Romans 5 talks about we, through faith and justification, are at peace with God. Can we praise him for that? Can we thank him for that as we come before his throne of grace? Finally, Jehovah Sabaoth, or the Lord of hosts. The Lord of power is used over 280 times, mostly in Isaiah and Jeremiah. It occurs first in 1 Samuel 1:3, where it says, "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eliah, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there." And so they would travel and they would offer in a specific place where they realized that God was with them always, but they came to a specific place to praise him. Aren't you glad that God is all over all other people? They might not follow him. They rebel against him. But he is the Lord of hosts. And one day he's going to come with a sword in his mouth and destroy all the rebellious kingdoms of this world that will not bow before him. And he is over all. And one day that rotten, sinful, deceiving serpent, Satan, will be cast into a holding place for 1,000 years, and then after 1,000 years will be let go for a short time and then will be eternally cast out of the mind of God in the lake of fire forever and ever, and will be cast out of our minds because we'll be with God because we are His children. Can we praise God for that? Dear Heavenly Father, please let your Holy Spirit use your word to help us pray forth the praises of your name. Please help us to come before your courts with thanksgiving, and before your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. To be thankful and to praise your name in the might that is displayed by just 16 of the many names that are found in the Word of God. God, may we spend time to study, to know, to understand, and to practically apply to our lives your character that is found through your names, that we may trust you in all that you're able to provide. In Jesus' name, amen.